Good evening. My name is Alyssa Gustafson, or Leary, G-U-S-T-A-F-S-O-N. I've not officially changed my name. I'm here again to talk about Ordinance 19-04, an ordinance by Bethel City Council amending Title 508, Alcoholic Beverages. 2 weeks ago at the last meeting, four council members voted to amend this ordinance, changing the daily limit from 2 bottles of hard spirits per store, per person, per day, to 5, which adds up to 10. Not one of you has provided a valid reason as to why any one person needs access to 10 bottles of hard spirits in one day. The vendors themselves have said that they are in support of a 2-bottle per person per day limit. So unless something's cooking off the record, I don't understand where this is even coming from. If the vendors aren't supporting that amount, I don't know where that's coming from. It has been discussed many times at these meetings, the fact that the one vendor currently operating in Bethel has a self-imposed limit of 5 bottles per person per day. So right now, if you are going to have a party or event, you would have and you would like to provide large amounts of spirits to your guests, you already, right now, would have to order, place an order with a vendor in Anchorage. That's not a valid excuse. Many times I've heard council members comment about the city's need for liquor sales in order to increase tax revenue. This is interesting to me, because as it's well known, that as we increase legal liquor sales, the expenses to the city also increase with the greater need for Bethel Police Department and emergency services. Other excuses include, what if friends are coming from Anchorage? Why should I have to plan ahead for a margarita party? I think everyone knows alcohol's cheaper in Anchorage, way more variety. If your friends are like mine, they're going to bring it with them in their luggage when they come, or ship it out, or whatever they need to do, they'll bring it with them. And so long as your margarita party attendees are all over 21, a couple of you should be able to stop by the liquor store together and get what you need, right? Common sense. This is absolutely a community issue affecting all of us in one way or another. While I sat here in person at the last meeting, I watched one council member shake his head in opposition at that statement, and that is deeply concerning to me. Only those with such a narrow view would think the only alcohol problem lies with those people, the inebriates that everyone likes to talk about. Maybe I'll be the first to tell you that the alcohol issue is much greater than them, right? I'm envious of the world you guys must live in, that you don't have friends or family struggling with alcohol. You've never served on jury duty. You've never volunteered for Bethel Emergency Services. You've never attended a funeral for a young person taken before their time, 100% because of alcohol. I've been to 2 of those funerals. For anyone on this council to say alcohol is not negatively affecting the greater good of this community is lying. The argument that limiting legal sales promotes bootlegging is also just not true. What is promoting bootlegging is allowing anyone to become a bootlegger and stop by each store once a day and stock up with 10 bottles each, and then they can go back to their village or their home and sell it illegally. That we're letting anybody become a bootlegger then, right? So no one is advertising this ordinance and the measures it contains as a silver bullet that are going to fix all of Bethel's alcohol problems. But this is a step in the right direction to limit the death and destruction that comes with legal sales. Maybe you have all heard since your last meeting, only 2 weeks ago, 2 more souls were lost in the river. I get to watch them drag the river whenever they're looking for the people that they have lost. And it's really sad, and I hate for kids to be able to see that and to know what that looks like. That's a shame. You are not on the sidelines of these issues. You have the power to make positive changes in this community. No single person needs access to 10 bottles of hard spirits each day. No one. No one. Please consider an amendment to change the daily limit back to 10 bottles per person per day. Thank you.
Hi. Can you guys hear me? Does it work? I don't know. I can't hear. Hi, my name is Ruth Abigail Miller, spell R-U-T-H-A-B-I-G-A-L ABIGAILMILLER. I'm here today to publicly address my city council. I've been lightly following city council happenings since I arrived in Bethel in 2014. I started paying closer attention as several matters addressed in the past year have been of importance to me. I started taking a deeper look after the display of disappointing behavior in the firing of former city manager Pete Williams. Mitchell Forbes, on May 28th in open session, Thor Williams accused you of having ulterior motives, using the upcoming election as a distraction to real issues. You then stated you did not know if you would run again. I urge you to run for council again. Without people like you to stand up for transparency, truth, and what is right, there is little hope for this community. Leif Albertson, I want to convey my respect and gratitude for your service to this council and community. I admire your integrity and would like to share a quote from To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. Before I can live with other folks, I've got to live with myself. The one thing that doesn't abide by majority rule is a person's conscience. Perry Barr, I'd like to thank you for being the voice of reason and calling it like you see it. I appreciate your poise and candor. I want you to know that I and many others believe you've upheld your oath to the people of Bethel, and we thank you for your volunteer service. Mayor Fred Watson, you've participated in placing our city at risk of financial harm that is likely to not be protected by our liability insurance with your attacks on our former city manager. Your attendance for council meetings is poor at best. With that said, I find it concerning that you agree we have a budget problem but have no issue with spending $20,000 on laptops for 7 people, increasing travel benefits, and when you had to defend voting for paying for yourself, you decided to attack the city manager. Granted, you were ultimately wise enough to agree it should be an advisory vote for the council to consider in the matter of paying yourself. Your behavior has violated the public trust. You've neglected the best interest of our city. Vice Mayor Thor Williams, you too have participated in placing our city at risk of financial harm. You postponed executive sessions that contained information about pending litigation on April 9th, even after fellow council members begged you to reconsider and hear the gist of litigation. You had no legal way of knowing if that litigation was pressing or not. You also left that meeting early. On April 23rd, you claimed you consulted with the insurance company prior to the firing of Pete Williams, which concerns me, as it leads to the logical conclusion that yourself and 3 other council members colluded to fire city personnel in an improper, disgusting, and probably illegal fashion. In addition to blatantly disregarding our city attorney, I've also discovered you misrepresented our city attorney on public record at least twice. You violated the public trust and neglected the best interest of our city. Fritz Charles, on April 9th, you stated that you did not want to hear about pending litigation because of, quote, personal reasons, citing you wanted Thor and Fred to be present. Likewise, you made the motion to initiate the probable illegal firing of Pete Williams. Honestly, the thing I want to convey to you and everyone listening more than anything is that it is never acceptable to drink and drive. Drinking and driving places every vehicleist and pedestrian in your path in danger of losing their lives. My loved ones drive and walk in this city. You were a danger to the public. I don't see how you can claim to have the safety of the city in your heart while participating in that type of behavior. Publicly and on council, you too have violated the public trust and neglected the best interest of our city. Carol Jung Jordan, you too had a particularly interesting hand in the firing of Pete Williams. On April 23rd, you made unspecified allegations that Pete Williams violated the Bethel Municipal Code. More egregiously, you claimed that years ago, Pete Williams, as city manager, made you, a city employee at the time, pay a bill for him. In open session, you said that bill was a massage parlor bill. I don't know if that is true or not. However, as your duty to protect this city's best interest, you failed to provide proof of this allegation and used it as a reason to assassinate a man's character and terminate him from employment years after the fact. You've also taken issues with me speaking out on Facebook about my displeasure with your behavior as an elected official. You've gone as far as having your spouse call my business partner in attempts to silence me. You've violated the public trust and neglected the best interest of our city. I voted for you. I want my vote back. I intend to have a recall petition with itemized details for Carol Jung Jordan, Fritz Charles, Fred Watson, and Thor Williams ready for signatures this Monday. Many in this town are talking about the circus this council has turned into, and nobody wanted to take the time to do this. I want to thank you, Carol, for reminding me it's my civic duty to stand up for what is right. Thank you.
Up next, I have Mary Nunawak.
Kriana, Mr. Mayor, and I also want to thank certain council members who have really done their jobs, beginning from when I first started attending these meetings, which is on July 2016. And these are Leif Albertson, Fritz Charles, Mr. Watson, Carol, but sometimes Thor really confuses me. He, one meeting will seem to be for a certain issue, and then the next meeting, it seems to be the opposite of what he's saying. And then there are some certain council members who have access to electronics, and yet their question meeting after meeting is still the same old question that they've asked many meetings before. And that is something I can never understand. And then forever there are discussions, meetings after meetings, on alcohol and marijuana and drugs. And for the life of me, I still cannot understand where alcohol and drugs are a big problem that contribute to a lot of crime, to stealing, to murder, to theft, to sexual abuse of children, to elders. I mean, like, one would think, knowing that these are contributing factors to crime in the region, one would think that they would look to other things to make money for the region. But I do appreciate certain individuals when it comes to these issues, and that they have a question they want to find out for themselves. And these are the people who are easy to talk to, people who truly give us hope that, yes, something can be done, whereas there are others who, it's so obvious certain individuals are just out to make money or to promote whoever they work for. And then another thing is the partnership programs between the city of Bethel, YKHC, the schools, the churches. And I keep saying that it has become so evident that these partnerships are only nominal. And then certain individuals have resigned, which means that when these people are replaced by another person, it's like starting back to day one from way back, because they don't have all the facts and knowledge of what's been going on. And another thing that I question over and over again is, why is it meeting after meeting when certain reports and the information that was supposed to have been done the prior meeting before comes the next meeting and it's still not there. Thank you. Doy? Oh, I have 30 seconds. But I would please urge everyone to open their eyes, their minds, and their hearts and work from there. Because when we do that, we get along with people, and it's much easier to work with others. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nunawak. Up next, I have Dave Flieger. Flieger. Please state your name and spell for a record, sir.
My name is Dave, like David, and then Flieger is spelled P like Paul, F like Frank, L-I-E-G-E-R. I am the CEO of Raven Air Group, and all I'm here to do today is just introduce myself and say thank you to the city, and thank you to its residents for supporting not only us, but the other carriers that fly in and out of Bethel, and also to volunteer to come back at a later date at your convenience to just give you an update on how we're doing as a company, how we'd like to get your feedback and those of, you know, your residents here on how to do a better job on a number of different fronts, whether it's reliability, customer service, and then most importantly, safety. So I think we've done a great job in safety. I've been in this job now for a little under 2 years, but I can come back again when it's best for you, and if you want to do it publicly or otherwise, happy to give you an update on ownership, management team, and our 1,300 employees. And with that, Mayor and Council members, that's all I have. Thanks very much for your support, and again, for everyone else who flies in and out of Bethel. Take care.
Thank you, Mr. Flieger. And the last person signed up, I have Cesari.
Yeah, good evening. My name is Cesari Maczynski, M-A-C-Z-Y-N-S-K-I. I come in here really, you know, what bothered me. I mean, I purchased that property over there by my river, and that is two-story house from the date when there was nothing wrong with it, and there was staying Jonathan and his wife, but she was city clerk, and Gwen Drake, and there was no problems. And recently, with last couple years, the approaching and forcing to parking boats and tow boats, what is really dangerous for the resident on that building and my property. The smoking is coming straight to the living room. They're not allowed before when Mr. Foley been in there. There was nobody park, and everybody happy, and everybody sleep peacefully. Last week, I have a call from Anchorage, and I was in Anchorage and plane being late, and occupants right now, they call me and they say they smoke out the house and really bother them and noisy. It's 9 o'clock, and the plane, when the plane came, and I called to the, he get the number for captain of the barge from logistic and Tom, and actually he threatened me. He said, if you keep bothering me, I'm going to smoke out everybody. When I came in here, and I called to Alan, the port director, and he said, we don't have room. I see every day barges in the middle of the river, but I happen, I come back, I have the plane being late. In the front and back, they have plenty of room. And it's not about being parking out in the middle, another one in the middle. And they have plenty of room on the seawall. And it's not about the room or not, because I don't, why do no park in the middle on the phone? I even don't know it yet. He said, oh, maybe that's dangerous to coming down to the port, and too much effort have to be done to the going from the barge to the port. Wait a minute, about the life and dangerous for those people who live in there. The bird is coming in nighttime at 3-4 o'clock, they're leaving, people sleep in there, the animals, the people. And if the city get me out from the liability, responsibility for people be injured or killed in there, let them park in. But first, I don't want to be responsible for somebody dead in my apartment in there, would be legally purchased and legally built in there. There is, like from here to the wall, you have big generator and motor chimney coming straight to your window. That is ridiculous. And I hate to come every second meeting recently happened, but I think this thing have to be straight, and there was everything fine when Mr. Foley been, but I know it is on the record, there was Pete Williams been on my back soon from the date when I moved in there. He tried accusing me for many things, and soon when he get position in here, to be manager, they increased those harassment, and now this pushing, he is gone. But the effort still in there to push and put to dangerous people living in there, and put liability, responsibility for me or the city. I do not get to be blamed for something what I tried to prevent it. So that is one thing. And all of you gentlemen, people in battle, vote for you guys. Don't list somebody with a come year ago or two and is messing up and not like anybody. You guys doing good job, all of them. And so that lady would come and is wambling and wambling. I'm not going to vote for her either. No, that's what it is. And I really want you consider to get decision which way to go. I'm not want to go to lawyers. I'm tired fighting and wrestling with everybody. So have a good evening. And that is not an issue, but maybe between later on something with executive session or something like that. I don't want to be in there. I don't know much with this legal options in there, what's going on. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mazinski. Is there anybody else in the gallery that did not sign up that would like to be heard? Hearing now, I'll go ahead and close people to be heard. Moving on to the next item on the agenda, approval of consent agenda and regular agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Williams. Any discussion? Any changes? Anything to be removed from the consent agenda? Vice Mayor Williams.
I ask to remove item 10.1, 10.2, 10.3, and 10.4. off the consent agenda.
10.1, 10.2, 10.3, and 10.4. Any further discussion? Mr. Forbes?
I'd also like to take item 10.5 off the consent agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Forbes. Any further changes? Hearing none, all those in favor of amendment as agenda signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? We do have an agenda, 7-0. Moving on to the next item, item 6.1, 6.2, special meeting minutes passed on the consent agenda. We will move on to item number 7, reports of standing committee. I'll start with the right side, Mr. Albertson.
Community Action Grant Technical Review Board has not had a meeting since my last update to council, but we are always doing quarterly cycles. So if you are an entity or a person interested in that grant, get with our city clerk. It's alcohol taxes that are used to fund projects within the city to make the city better, safer, healthier, more beautiful. So if it sounds like that's something you want to do, please talk to our clerk about how to apply. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Albertson. Mr. Forbes?
The Parks and Rec Committee has not had a meeting since our last council meeting, so I have no update. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Forbes. Mr. Charles?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Safety and Transportation Committee has not met since our last meeting. Our next meeting is scheduled for August 7th.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. For the Port Commission, we did attempt to have a meeting. We failed to reach a quorum on the 15th. Our next meeting will be the third Monday of next month. Mrs. Jung-Jordan?
Thank you. The Public Works Committee met last Wednesday. It was July 17th, and we spoke about the possibility of adopting a dumpster, and then also a recommendation for the City of Bethel code enforcer, which we're going to table until next month's meeting, until we can read the job description. The next meeting will be August 21, Wednesday.
Thank you, Mrs. Jung-Jordan. Vice Mayor Williams?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Planning Commission met in our minutes. I think the minutes are a little off. It says June 13, 2019, but There was no quorum on July 11, 2019, so those minutes would need to be addressed. But there was a lack of quorum, and I see that I would have made the quorum, and I forgot about the meeting, and I'm very sorry to that committee. I wish they called me.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Williams. Mr. Barr.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We did meet the Finance Committee meeting, or the Finance Committee met yesterday. I think we are getting the ball rolling, and a lot of what our duties are, we're trying to decide what our duties are, especially since we have no direction from the City Council. We do have a new addition, which I'm pretty proud to say that my constant badgering of Issa Fredericks has worked, and he is now going to join our Finance Committee. But I still would like to see Seth Medole at our Finance Committee meetings too, and I would like for him to be a member and would welcome him to our little fine group. We did have two things on our agenda yesterday. One is the roles and responsibilities of our Finance Committee, which we went into detail with. And then we're working with City Attorney Ms. Burley on BMC Section 416-180, special exemptions for charitable events, consideration of amending this if given a timely submission, provided there are no more than 3 years. So we really appreciate Ms. Burley's assistance in helping us address this change to BMC. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Barr.
Our next meeting is August 26th at 6:30 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next item on the agenda is special order of business. I do believe we have Mrs. Donna Bach from the United States Census giving us an overview presentation. She is a tribal partnership specialist, I believe. Mrs. Bach, please state your name and spell it for the record. And
thank you. Welcome. Good evening, everyone. Donna Bach, D-O-N-N-A-B-A-C-H, formerly Elliot. It's kind of cool to walk into city chambers and see the first mayor, who is my Uncle Howard, and even my father's up there. He's probably 1 year old when he was a mayor, but I admire all of your civic and duty. I'm honored to be here as a former Bethel resident representing the U.S. Census Bureau as a tribal partnership specialist on behalf of the Department of Commerce in an effort to help galvanize and heighten community awareness about the road to 2020 census. I do have a presentation. Thank you, Lori Strickler, for your assistance and your communication, and Mayor Watson for, as well as Councilman Forbes, for creating the opportunity for special order of business. I know it's a beautiful day. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I appreciate your consideration of the draft resolution that I'm assuming all of you have seen in consideration of joining and forming a complete count committee. Essentially, my role is to work currently in the Southwest region, which is the entire YK Delta, as well as the Bristol Bay region, the Aleutians, Kodiak, and tribal communities on the road system in South Central. I'm actually based out of Anchorage, but it's no small feat when we think about civic engagement, votership, for example, and the challenges of remote Alaska when it comes to ensuring a complete count for the 2020 census. Just for context, and I may just skip the PowerPoint on account of just trying to keep it brief and respectful of everyone's time. What I want to just highlight is in the 2010 census, there was an estimated 6 to 8% undercount of Alaska Native American Indians. I know that that percentage is pretty high here in the YK region. I know that Bethel is considered a hub for a lot of the regional communities. I know that there are challenges with transient populations. I know that we're also the fastest growing and youngest region in the country, and that we need to be considerate of that as we look at the count that's starting in January of 2020. The first community actually in the nation to be counted is Tuxuk Bay, if you weren't already aware. There's going to be a lot of attention on the census by a lot of leadership across the state, not just in consideration of forming complete count committees. I believe there are over 20 complete count committees that have been sponsored or vetted or under consideration by different boroughs, municipalities. There's even separate groups that are fundraising to essentially champion this effort to make it more unique, understanding Alaska's remoteness, our indigenous languages, our very diverse populations due to seasonal workers. I don't want to make any assumptions about what people may or may not know about the census, but I did provide packets for you all to essentially read, maybe when it's a more rainy day. But essentially, just some facts about the census. It's been it started in 1790. Essentially, it's a constitutional, it's in our constitution to participate in the census. I believe you have a handout that basically explains Census 101. It's about fair representation. It only happens every 10 years. We have to look at it as an opportunity. And if you understand the weight of ensuring a complete count, a lot of the aggregate data and information that's collected basically allows the Department of Treasury to disseminate money, federal money, two states to the tune of, the last tune was $675 billion. That's how the essentially the Department of Treasury allocates funding to states to provide services. One handout that I want you to pay particular attention to in your packet is Counting for Dollars. Sorry about that. It's the role of the decennial census in the geographic distribution of funds. The number on here says 55. Those are just the highest 55. Alaska has over 300 federally funded programs. When we think about census distribution, think about airport runways in our remote villages. Think about Department of Energy, Indian Energy grants that help with our village rural energy infrastructure. Think about CDC being able to track public health or track communicable disease for healthcare. Alaska in 2016 received nearly $3.2 billion in federal program obligations. 1.2 of that was Medicaid dollars. Think of the transportation that many of tribal health recipients need or use to seek advanced healthcare. That's a lot of money. Think about federal student loans, low-income housing. The estimate for an undercount, let's just say in any village in the YK region, Alaska, is if you miss one person in a count or someone is undercounted, that could be the equivalent of $3,000 for 1 year and then times that by 10. So $30,000 essentially per person over the course of 10 years that maybe that community would miss due to an undercount. So that's a little bit of reverse math on what an undercount means. And I really think that in these fiscally stressful times that our state is facing, we cannot afford an undercount, especially a region where there's a lot of unmet need. Like the YK region, like a lot of actual remote Alaska. And so your engagement, your support, your community voice as maybe leaders here at the city or even in your roles in your day job when you're not here volunteering on beautiful days can be really empowering. So I'm in town. I'm meeting with several service-based organizations throughout the day tomorrow. My contact information, Lori has that, and I'm actually the lead tribal partnership specialist that's helping galvanize a tribal liaison census training effort that's taking place between August 6th and August 9th. And August 6th is going to be a tribal training opportunity for the 56 tribes in the YK region that's going to be commencing here in Bethel. AVCP Housing Authority has been kind enough to provide space. I know that's happening in tandem with several other important events that are happening in Bethel that week. But we'll be here to provide key training to local residents that are from our remote villages to essentially share this message, provide training, answer the questions or concerns they may have about the census. and explain to them how they can partner or assist in ensuring a complete count for their respective communities. One thing that I should mention also about Alaska, because we're such a sparsely populated state, we essentially compose the 1% in comparison to the rest of the contiguous United States in population. However, we are a very special state in the sense that very remote areas throughout Alaska are going to be counted in person. So this is essentially going to be the knock on the door, because most people in Village Alaska don't have physical street, or they may not know their physical address. I know that there's often issues with mail systems. And so right now we're really in, the census is really in this recruitment phase. We're encouraging as many people to apply online to 2020census.gov/jobs. If they're considering employment opportunities in this winter. Address canvassing, essentially where workers are going to be looking and ensuring that places are where they are and addresses and homes are where they are, is going to be taking place in August. There is a pop-up Anchorage Census office that is in Anchorage. The U.S. Census and the regional director out of the Los Angeles Census regional office has prioritized and striving to hire as many local residents as possible. So if you know someone that needs a job, if there's someone that may need a job in, you know, this winter, December, January, February, now is essentially a great time to apply. It only takes 10 to 15 minutes. I've actually told everyone that I know to apply just in case, because there's a lot of flexibility in the job. And that rural, remote Alaska expertise is priceless. The last thing you want to do is have someone fly in to a rural community, to a community that they may not be familiar with. They want to hire locally. So I can provide more training and more opportunity to share a lot of this really important information. And so I think if there's a consideration or an opportunity to maybe engage at a higher level about what a complete count committee is, what the role of the city of Bethel can do, or be in partnership with other organizations to ensure complete count, not just for Bethel, there are some resources that you can leverage, such as your police force to, you know, maybe count transient or homeless populations in Bethel, for example, you know, in the months of January and February when the count is actually happening. Those partnerships are really key to ensuring success, and your support is much appreciated. So Kuyana Chuknuk, I'll pause there. I'm sorry I didn't go through the slides, but I can email those to Lori in case you need that. But I'd be happy to entertain any questions at this point.
Anyone have questions for Mrs. Bach? Vice Mayor Williams?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Bach, when you're going out to these villages or surrounding villages, are you planning to go door to door and knock on each door and do a head count that way, or are you expecting people just to fill out a form?
They're going to go door to door for most of remote Alaska. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it won't be me.
Okay.
I mostly do the external sort of partnership activities. My goal is to work with formation of complete count committees. The operations side out of Anchorage is essentially there's a recruitment assistant that was just hired. I think he's a city employee. Shadi
Roddy.
What's his name?
Shadi Roddy.
Shadi Roddy, yes. So he just onboarded and got trained last week, and he's going to be he and I are probably going to be working together as he learns his role. But he's going to be instrumental resource and point of contact for people seeking census jobs that live here in the region. Okay. Thank you for that prompt. I wanted to mention that, but I know it's a lot of information.
Next question. Thank you, Mrs. Bach.
Thank you.
Thank you. Remember to be counted.
Okay, moving on to item number 9.
We might not have
unfinished business. public hearing on budget ordinance 19-11A, amending the adopted annual fiscal year 2020 at budget administration, clerk's office, planning, attorney Bethel Heights Water Treatment Center, brought forth by acting city manager Howell. I will now open up 1911 to public hearing. Does anybody wish to speak to this ordinance in the gallery? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Is there a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Is there a second? Thank you, Mr. Ford. Mr. Barr.
Mr. Howell. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councilmember Barr. Before you hear, we have a budget mod covering a number of different things. First off is moving and relocating some money from the attorney's office into the manager's and clerk's office for use for legal fees until we get a new attorney. Leave cash out for the city attorney, which needed to be funded. And then we have a transfer of some funds that won't be expended for culvert installation on the highway for the Avenues project. And just recapping some of the items in this mod. And then, of course, it's on a split page here, unfortunately, but it is the addition of $28,000 into the planner's personnel line item to allow us to recruit and retain a city planner for the community. We've also included in your, I may be in your red folders, I know it's part of the packet as well, suggested budget amendments that were requested at the last meeting. There is a adjustment to the whereases. At that meeting, I believe Councilmember Williams requested that there be some better summaries on the changes in the budget, and we've also changed to at least for now, a more standardized budget modification format. It's a two-column format. Shows you the amount of the change, shows you what it's being changed to. So there's a two-column change there. So there's four recommended changes from administration. The first one is just language. Amendment two basically just clarifies that budget mod, and it inserts that increased line on the bottom, so you have that. So it's just basically clarification as requested by Councilmember Williams. And then on this budget mod, we've also, in amendment number three, suggested a summary table at the very bottom of the budget mod. And then there's a further summary on the bottom of this, I believe, under number four, basically changing that format as well, and that's the only change therein. It just adding, just going to that two column, and so we look for a council member to sponsor. We couldn't do those changes, obviously, because it had already been introduced, and so we provided suggested changes as requested by the council, clarified the language, checked the math, and we're hoping that this will suit the needs of the council. Thank you, Councilmember Barr. Thank you, Mayor Watson.
Thank you, Mr. Hull. Mr. Forbes?
I'll go ahead and move go ahead and move to adopt all four of administration's proposed amendments, so amendments 1 through 4.
So you want to make a motion to amend?
And all of the amendments at once, if
so. That would be. So that would be budget mods B. Amendment number 2, amendment number 1 and 3, right?
And 4. Yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Mr. Forbes.
I don't have too much more to add on this. One of the things that happened at the last meeting at the same time this was introduced was our discussion about using GovHR for the recruitment services for the city attorney search. And so Amendment 1 adds some of that language and adds in that consulting service cost. And then the rest of it is the Amendments 2 through 4 kind of clean up as City Manager Howell had already discussed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Forbes. Any further discussion? Mr. Howell, I have a question on page 1 of 2 of the suggested amendments. On the first, whereas it says the city's attorney's budget can be $65,000 for surveys of municipal land. It looks like we're taking money out of that and reallocating it. Is that something that is going to have to be put back because we need those surveys in the future? So I'm looking at a potential budget mod in the future because of this budget mod.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think that's a very good point. I think that what we are trying to achieve is, not potentially spending those funds out of a department that doesn't have a department head in it. And I think that's part of why we're shifting those funds over. It just provides clarity to the process. If the council would prefer, we can just spend those funds out of those departments.
Vice Mayor Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So we're looking now to go back to budget modification with that first sentence to D, and decreasing that budget exponentially to $65,000 because it's not needed, but you don't have that in your budget modification. So if it's not part of the budget modification, then we're really not taking that money out. It needs to be part of that budget modification to do that. And I don't see that in any of the budget modifications on the second page. So are you requesting that we put that in to budget modification D, the decrease of that line item and that amount to offset the cost, because we're taking everything out of the general fund and we're not decreasing across the board any other items?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Williams, you're referring to the personal line item cash out on D?
No, I'm referring back to your explanation on the First Amendment, whereas the city attorney budget contains $65,000 for surveys from initial plans, projects the city will not be completing. But are you looking for us to take that $65,000 to offset any of the expenditures that you're looking to increase so that we have it across the board? Because it's not part of any of your decreases.
Our intent was to decrease the amount in the city attorney's budget and move that into administration and the clerk's office. Yes, that is correct. So there would have been $5,000 out of that into the clerks, $50,000, I'm sorry.
So point of clarification, are you looking for 1065,649 under professional services and remove that number out of there and decreasing that line item? Is that what you're asking for?
Clarification, did you mean 1056,649?
Yes.
Thank Sorry. You, sir.
Mr. Howell, let me refer to the city clerk real quick.
Thank you.
So I think, Vice Mayor Williams, the budget modification that you're looking for is listed under subsection D of the budget modification. 1056,649, a reduction of $55,000 on page 2 of the proposed amendment.
On page 2?
Yeah. Mid-page. under D.
I'm trying to get there. It's not refreshing. Yeah.
It's budgeted for 65, and we're looking for a reduction to bring it to 10. That would cover the amendments for administration in the city.
On page 2 of the second.
Not the suggested amendments, the actual ordinance. It's confusing, I know, with two separate pages in there for the budget.
So you're decreasing that professional line item down to 10?
That's correct, yeah, by 50.
So you wanted that whereas in the sentence to be put into that budget then, not just the numbers.
Right, so the numbers were already accounted for. Administration thought it would be more clear if there was a whereas statement that addressed the $65,000.
Is that the motion on the floor?
The motion on the floor would be to insert a whereas statement, not the line item adjustment. Just the summary explanation of the whereas. Because the budget modification of the reduction of $55,000 was already listed in the budget suggested, or the budget amendment.
It was already in the initial
right.
ordinance. Okay.
I understand it's confusing. We will work on another way to present suggested modifications for the future. Thank you.
Mr. Barr, any further discussion? Yeah, I too get confused by these multiple line item amendments, and I think I suggested it before. If you can, and it's possible, do them one by one, because if I disagree with one of them, I can't support the whole thing. You know, do you know what I mean, Mr. Howell? And that was true in the last administrations. I didn't disagree with a couple of them, so they all failed. And that went on for a couple of months. I understand this is a good way to save time and lump a lot of them together, but like I said, if I disagree with one, I'm not going to support the whole document just because of that one item. So, any further discussion? Vice Mayor Williams?
So the question goes back to the maker of the motion. Are you wanting to change the whereas under Section 2 that's already there to this new whereas that says almost the same thing?
I guess I can defer to whoever in administration wrote this, but I'm also not really, I think the main point is clarifying the where the money is going, or I guess rather accounting for that action memorandum 1940. As this amendment is written, it says change the wording of the first two whereas statements to read. And so I think there's an extra whereas. So those are two whereas statements, but there's a third whereas there, if that makes sense. So those are just two statements. And so it would be my intent to take this amendment as written and replace those first two whereas statements with these statements here.
Thank you, Mr. Forbes. Further discussion? Last chance. Okay. Hearing no further discussion, those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Amendment is passed 7-0. Back to the main motion. Any further discussion? Vice Mayor Williams.
Mr. Mayor, I move to delete budget modification C at this time.
Okay, so there's a motion to delete items budget mod C. Is there a second? Last chance, is there a second to delete budget mod C from the budget ordinance?
I'll second for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. We have a second. Vice Mayor Williams.
If you go down to action memorandum 1943, the agency that is looking for a Sioux City manager has requested that if we're going to hire a planner or not hire a planner, to let that person know. So they're, I think at this point, recommending that we don't hire a city planner at this time and allowing the new city manager to do that function. You can read that action memorandum, but that was in the action memorandum that I read. If I said something, that's why I understand. So it's a decision up to the council, but that's what they have expressed.
Mr. Forbes.
I did too read the same action memorandum. Increasing the line as it's the salary line doesn't you know, lock us into hiring a person right away. I mean, if anything, we'd be back in the same position of making a budget mod down the road for the city planner's salary. So just because we're increasing the salary now in this budget mod as is proposed doesn't lock us into hiring a city planner before the city manager search is complete. So if anything, we're just doing some of the groundwork to allow that whoever that new city manager is to find a qualified planner.
Thank you, Mr. Forbes. Further discussion? No further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed?
Nay.
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 Is this an amendment motion?
This is an amendment.
The amendment?
To delete budget modification C.
Mr. Mayor?
Wait. What was your aye? Okay, I didn't get a good count. Those in favor signify by raising your hand.
And this is
to
delete.
Delete. In favor of the motion to delete budget mod C. Those in favor of the mod, raise your hand. So we have three. Those opposed, raise your hand. Okay, so the amendment fails 4-2 with Vice Mayor Williams, Carol Jung Jordan, and Charles opposed. Back to the main motion.
How's Bart? Bart?
Never mind. I got it. Thank you.
Are we good?
Did
I get that right?
You did.
Okay. Back to the main motion. Vice Mayor Williams.
The city manager had a comment, so I was referring
to city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with Council Member Forbes that this the wage level that's stated right now for the planner is just unacceptable for the type of services that I think the city shoots for and the level of education that we're requesting. So I would strongly urge the council to support this modification. And I would like to address that later action memorandum with regards to this as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Will. Mr. Howell. Further discussion on the main motion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Williams.
Yes.
Mayor Watson.
Yes.
Councilmember Forbes.
Yes.
Councilmember Charles.
Yes.
Councilmember Albertson.
Yes.
Councilmember Jung Jordan.
Yes.
And Councilmember Barr.
Yes.
Thank you. Ordinance 1911 passes unanimously. Moving on to the next item. Nine-2, public hearing of ordinance 1914, amending title 5.08, alcoholic beverages, brought forth by Councilmember Albertson. I will now open ordinance 1914 to public hearing. Is there anybody that wishes to speak to this ordinance from the gallery? Mrs. Gustin, come on up, state your name, and spell it for the record, please.